Okay, everyone. Hi, this is Glenda, and I'm on the call. Sorry I'm late. There was a little bit of trouble on the line. We have had several power outages lately just because of the some extreme changes in the weather. But I was with you in spirit, and I know that Jenny was doing a great job. So just carry on with your conversations, and I'll find my way into them. Okay?
Okay. Hi, Glenda. So we have a first caller here from area code 903. 903, you are on.
Yes, this is Ben. And Glenda, I'm bringing a focus all of this week with the new Jesus Loves Me that I sang when you brought First Light out.
Oh, I remember that. It was so great. Yes, thank you.
Hi, Ben.
That will be wonderful.
And I'm also coming from the fifth dimension, as Wes would introduce me.
Okay. I would certainly agree to that.
I'm listening now.
Okay. Thank you, Ben. Thanks for being here every week. Now we have another caller. I believe this is Tony calling. I think
yes,
that's her number. Hello,
hi.
Tony and Judy.
Yeah, actually, Judy's visiting her sister in Hawaii, so it's just me this week.
Oh, poor thing. Poor thing. Has to be in Hawaii.
Yeah, I know she's enjoying her son.
Oh, gee, you know, but somebody's got to put up with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was listening to the recording of the essential oils class that you did. I've been listening to parts of it, but I hadn't listened to the whole thing until just this weekend, and I really loved it. I want to thank you for doing that class. The insight and that you share and the way that you presented it, it's as wonderful as any of your classes. I just wanted to acknowledge you and thank you for that.
Well, thanks, Tony. Of course, that one had a little bit more technical information that comes in handy when you're using something for a personal remedy or enhancement for your life. And by the way, everybody, all of our webinars are archived so that you can log in. You can take them anytime you want. And really, there's not a lot of disadvantage to doing that versus live because we do excellent recordings. And even a lot of people who take our webinars live, download them, and you can download them into your computer once they're yours. You own them once you sign up for them. And so many people just listen to them over and over again and get more out of them the fourth or fifth time they listen to them. So don't think you're really left behind because you couldn't make it live. They're still there.
And the those oils, I've started to use those oils, and I really love the aromas. They really seem to connect for me. So thank you again for those.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. You know, they were really put together as a result of about 10 years of study and some of the best professional help on the planet. And we use only either organic or field-grown sources that are distilled in the purest way. No, nothing ever chemical in our essential oils. Nothing ever, ever artificial. And that is not true of most of what you get in the grocery stores. Most of what you get in the grocery store is about 75% artificial, and then a little bit of carrier oil, and then a little tiny bit of essential oil, just so they can declare it essential oil. Because so far, the perfume industry has such a lobby. I don't think very many people realize how enormously powerful and wealthy the perfume industry is. And they have such a powerful lobby, they have managed to exclude all ingredients from perfumes to protect their proprietary blends, like Chanel No. 5 or Eternity or any of the other famous perfumes you may have seen and loved. Well, that same thing that covers for perfume also covers for essential oils. And so people can, manufacturers, blenders can say it's essential oil, and as long as there's one drop of essential oil in it, it's legal.
Mm.
So you need to know that, guys. When you're at a grocery store and you see something that's $5, $10, I can promise you it's not all essential oil. I can promise you. And let me give you an example. With roses, it takes 4 tons of rosebuds to make 1 ounce of essential oil. Now, do you think you're going to get that for $5? I mean, really. Let's be real. So, it's once you know the industry, once you know the mechanics of how it's put together and the incredible value the real stuff has for you. We are part of this earth, and essential oil is the medicine that the plants use for healing their own bodies and attracting that from the birds and the bees that will propagate them or even heal them or be symbiotic with them, such as the aphids come to drink the nectar of the plant, but in return, the aphids give the plant what it needs. So it's part of the symbiosis, it's part of the medicine, it's part of the healing, and it's part of what they give to one another and what they use for protection. So it's a fascinating subject. Thanks for bringing it up, Tony.
Sure.
Okay, next we have a caller from area code 641. You are on.
Hi.
641.
Lucy?
I'm sorry, what was your name?
Lucy.
Oh, hi, Lucy.
And I'm just calling to ask for a special blessing for healing of my eyesight and my heart.
Okay, Lucy, I have you on my list. You were on our call last week, weren't you?
Yes, I was. Thank you.
Oh, well, I'm so glad you came back. And keep drinking it in, because it takes a little while sometimes to fill up an empty container.
All right.
Okay?
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Next, we have 856 area code. 856, you're on.
Hi, this is Eva. I just wanted to tell a little story about my angel, which is my cat, and a big lesson which I learned. We rescued this little kitten about not quite 2 years ago, and of course he's grown. And last week we were trying to keep him pretty much in the house because when he was very little, he got out and bolted and was still quite wild. But once in a while, he would get out, and I would have a hard time getting him back in. Well, last week, he got out one day and didn't come back. So I was really thinking that he was gone. But I had that night, he didn't come back, and I did a special blessing. And in my blessing, I just felt so connected and so much love for this cat that I was quite sure I was in tune with him and he was okay and he was going to be all right. But the next day, he still was gone all day the next day and the next night. And finally, I said, okay, I guess my cat is gone. And I sort of wondered, you know, wished I knew where he was, but somehow I still felt a certain peace, and my house was more peaceful, and I wasn't quite sure what to make of it. Well, the next morning, I'm getting up out of bed, and I hear this meow. And I go out of my bedroom door, and there is Angel. And I thought, oh, my goodness, how did you get here? And he was on the deck when my son-in-law went to work early in the morning and brought him in. And none the worse for wear. He was just his normal self and much more calm and much more willing to come in and out. And so finally we decided, okay, I guess this cat wants to be outside, and we'll let him go out when he wants to go out. And I've been doing that now, and he comes in when I call, and it's just amazing because before I couldn't hardly get him in when he would run outside.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was just, like, too worried about him and not willing to allow him to be what he wanted to be because I was scared of losing him and scared of him. My daughter would keep saying, no, he can't go outside. We have such a busy street. He can get hit, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it was interesting that when just before this happened, I listened to one of your blessing calls, and in your blessing call, you were talking about forgiveness, and it was saying, you were saying that, well, you have to forgive the person that let the cat out that got killed. And this was just before this was happening, and I thought, okay, I guess I got to forgive the fact that we let the cat out, and he, you know, what if something happened to him. But then, of course, he was okay. So it was just interesting to me to realize, to help me to learn how to let go. And in the process, I sort of felt like reminded of the prodigal son who had to go out and do his thing and then come back, and then he's being okay. So it was just kind of...
Well, Angel taught you a lesson. And that lesson was faith.
And then my husband, he would always want him to go out because it's a nice day. And we always had cats that went in and out, but we didn't live in the place we live in now. And so he would want him to go out, and I would want him to stay in. So there was this kind of a friction, too. And then finally I said to Charlie, I said, well, do you feel better with Angel not here? And he nodded yes. And I said, okay, well, I guess if I have a choice between you and an Angel, I'll pick you. And so... It was all like, okay, our house is more peaceful, but now we can have a cat and a peaceful house as well. So it'll work very well.
So that was quite, you know, animals are amazing. They are amazing, and I really think they are connected to our angels.
Yeah, I mean, it really felt like it was the way he came back and was like, oh, here I am, and I'm okay. You see, I can handle myself. You don't have to worry about me. You know, and now he just comes and goes. Willingly, which before he didn't. And so,
you know, Eva, I think there's a great correlation between freedom and faith. You know, sometimes we hold on to things too tightly because we don't have enough faith to let go of it. We hold on to a job that's not very fulfilling for us because we don't have enough faith to let go and look for a better one. We hold on to relationships that are toxic or not that good for us. And I'm not referring to good marriages or with our children. I'm talking about, you know, friendships or just people we hang out with that are because we're afraid of being lonely. But freedom and faith have a lot to do with each other. The people who came to this country 200, 300, 400 years ago,
oh, yes.
A lot of faith. It took a lot of faith to create the freedom that we have all inherited.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Eva. That was a great story.
Yes. Yes. Very, very interesting to have that experience. I appreciated it after it was all finished.
Yeah.
Okay, the next caller looks like Maura. Hi, Maura, you're on.
You know, I came on before anyone started. I was saying hello to you, Jenny, and I think you've been doing a very nice job for Glenda, and so I'll just thank you for that, and...
Thank you.
And then, Glenda, I'm very, very happy that you're sounding strong and Thank you. As wonderful as ever. So.
Well, I get my cast off on Thursday, so next Sunday I will be able to offer the blessing.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Really wonderful. So, nice to hear your voice again, too, Jenny.
Thank you, Maura. It's nice. I love hearing your voice.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, we have another caller now from area code 406. 406, you're on. You may have to unmute your phone.
Hi, is this Joanne? Is this 406?
Yep.
Am I the
that's
person
you.
Here? Okay.
Yep, that's you.
You know something? I did the same thing as the last one. Because of the lateness of getting the call started, but I did start thinking of something. I asked like 2 weeks ago for blessings from my son and his wife and the two children, and I just have to say thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, as well as all of you, and because there seems to be a miracle that has happened, that they seem happier, there's more harmony, and even physically they're getting along better too. So I just want to say thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome, and there's no reason for us to not keep blessing them. So
that would be great. That would be great.
We'll just keep them on the list, and you pray for them during the blessing, okay?
I will. I will.
And your son for yourself too.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Yeah, and actually, I'm feeling happier too, and a lot of nice things happen. And you said, well, let's put you in there too, and I do. So much. I am so much a believer in the power of the Christ and the prayer, and I live by that. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome. And just everybody, please remember, it's not us. It's Him. It's the power of Jesus Christ, or Yeshua, as I like to call Him, because that was his name when He walked on the earth. And it's Him. It's His power. It's the Holy Spirit. And it's the grace of our loving Heavenly Father embracing us all and bringing us into one greater whole. Because, you know, sometimes it's hard to bring healing to just one person when everything around them is also hurting and in chaos and confusion and anger and upset. We have to bring our earth, our human family, and everything into a greater state of harmony, and everyone will be healed. This is what we're all noticing, is that as we're healed, the things around us are doing better as well. As we do better, the things around us do better as well, because we're all knitted together in a subtle, energetic way, and sometimes in a directly dependent way where families are concerned. But I have a very important subject I want to talk to you about today, and fortunately, I can make it pretty short, even though it's one of the most powerful subjects that we could ever take up in relation to our life, to our success, to our healing, and our recovery, and our prayers, and really, really everything in our life. It's often been said, there are two things everybody can count on. One of them is taxes, and the other is debt. It is death. Well, that seems to be true. But something I can tell you is absolutely true. It's about this universe. It's a constant in this universe. And it's a constant with everything. And all the great scientists have confirmed it and utilized it in their studies. And all the great teachers may not have named it as simply as this, but they've talked about it. And it's got one word. It's called momentum. Momentum. You know, everything in life carries with it momentum. I'll give you a simple example. Let's just say we want to lose weight. The hardest weight you will ever lose is the first pound. After that, it becomes easier. And then easier and easier. And that most of us who've ever tried to lose weight, then we get into this other problem at the end of the cycle where maybe we've just got 5 extra pounds to lose. Well, you know what happens, and you know why that happens? So easy. We start congratulating ourselves when we get down to those last 5 pounds, and we pick up our diet just a little bit, and we start rewarding ourselves a little bit. And all it takes is a little bit to kill momentum. Without the momentum, the losing stops. It's as simple as that. Have you ever noticed that you start a new course, and the first few days or weeks of the course, they're always the hardest, even though the material gets denser and more complex as you go into it? Why is the first hardest? You have to learn a new language or nomenclature or word definitions or maybe just the tone of a teacher or the parameters of a subject and get used to the language of the subject and the application, and you build momentum. Momentum carries you through it. You get into, let's just say you're a salesperson. Your toughest sale to make is your first one. And then it's like, oh, wow, I'm learning, I'm building, I got that momentum. But let me tell you, folks, it's not just about the ordinary things in life. It's about the intangible things as well. It's also about faith. Our first really big exercise in faith usually results in a miracle of discovering how powerful faith really is. Because our spirit also carries with it momentum. Now, there's something else that carries momentum. And these are I don't want to say bad, but the unhealthy things we do in life. We think, oh, it'll be fun to just do a little bit of gambling. Well, it is. Everybody loves to go to Las Vegas and pull the one-armed bandit down a few times, play a little bit of backgammon or whatever your favorite game is. And that's fine if you just go in, you take in a few shows, enjoy yourself, you come out. It was a great vacation. What happens, though? What happens? And so often, this happens with people who play the lottery. The wishful thinking starts building a momentum. And they never make enough to pay for everything they lose, and they can't stop. Of course, the momentum of alcoholism or smoking is one of the most notorious examples on the negative side of the momentum sheet in our life. But there's a lot of in-between stuff that we don't often look at. And that is the momentum that we can create negatively simply about complaining. It's not all really that bad. You know, we're not liking that there's so many preservatives in our food, and we start complaining about that, and so we don't eat that anymore, and then we complain that the foods are not as fresh as they used to be, and we really get into such a negative flow about what we eat that we don't look at the positive side of what's there. And there are a lot of good things we could be looking at. It's really, really important that we break negative momentum, because it will carry us into life far beyond a simple complaint. And it's also very, very important when something good happens to us that we give praise and gratitude, and we even give material reinforcement to it. Because that's the whole purpose of tithing, is that we give material reinforcement into the good things of life. We pray, and when we see a prayer has been answered, we say, thank you, God. And then we look at the people who helped that prayer come true, and we call them and let them know, thank you so much for praying with me. Thank you so much for your help. Thank you so much for your contribution. And you create positive momentum. If, even in a financial situation, you want to look at what to invest in, look at what's building positive momentum. The entire universe moves forward or backwards on momentum. And that is an actual law of the universe. Notice negative momentum whenever you see it in your life and cut it. I have a story I've told many, many times, and I'll make it very quick so we can get into our blessing. But when I lived on the vineyard, it was on sandy ground, because that's what vines really, they like deep sand with a clay base that holds the water level and doesn't drain it. And unfortunately, grass burrs love sand as well. So we were putting in a new home and a new lawn, and everywhere I would walk there were grass burrs, and I just hated it. So I really studied the grass burr. What do they love? Well, they actually like having dry, sandy soil, and they like having no competition. And I thought, oh, all right, I just need to cut their momentum. And I brought in some topsoil, and I planted Bermuda grass. And I fertilized the Bermuda grass. I found out beforehand that grass burrs don't even uptake fertilizer. They don't want it. They don't need it. They live out of depleted conditions. That's what they were built to thrive in. So actually I created something that cut their momentum, and then I enhanced the momentum of the Bermuda grass. 6 months later, I had a lawn with all Bermuda grass, and I had one by one cut out the grass burrs that did manage to come up, but they didn't come back because it wasn't their kind of soil. It wasn't their kind of environment. So that's a simple, practical example from nature. Just reinforce positive momentum. Cut negative momentum. Now, this applies to the blessing. You're going to reinforce it with your prayer. It's going to be very powerful momentum from heavenly sources moving through you into the earth and coming back to you. Reinforce it with your prayer. Reinforce it with your period of resting afterwards. Reinforce it in life by looking for opportunities to make it even better. Come back next week and reinforce it. Okay? And if anything negative comes back, dismiss it. Don't put your attention on it. Just disregard it. Don't feed it. There was a story that an old Indian told his grandson about two wolves. There were two wolves at the door. And I'm not exactly sure what set up the story, but the old man said one of them will stay and one will go. And the little boy said, well, which one will stay? And the old man said, the one you feed. So I wish I had remembered the whole story because it had a little more punch to it than that. But at any rate, I think you get the point. It's time now that we started our blessing. And so I will say my invocation to Yeshua. And then, Jenny, you will get everybody started for the blessing. And we will all be here united to receive the great gifts of the heavenly host. Dear Yeshua, we thank you for your love, your teaching, your friendship, your brotherhood, your guidance, your compassion, your forgiveness, your tolerance, your patience, and all that you give to us to continue reinforcing that which is good in us and just simply disregarding what isn't quite so good. You just don't put your attention on it. You just keep seeing how lovely we are, how good we are, how much we were created in the image of God, and you hold that for us until someday we can hold that for ourselves. And we thank you for that because we know that sooner or later, we will listen. Sooner or later, we will be walking by your side just as you are now walking by ours. And we thank you for your blessings today. We ask together that we may be conduits of your blessing into those around us who also need blessings. That the lonely may be comforted and the sick may be blanketed with hope. And the children may be cared for. And the elderly protected. And those passing out of life or passing into life may be guarded by the angels. We ask all of this in your divine presence. Always and forever. Amen.
Blessing givers who wish to offer a blessing, please stand. And those who wish to receive a blessing, please sit comfortably with your back relaxed and straight, with your feet touching the floor, any body parts uncrossed. The blessing will last about 3 minutes, and after that time, I'll come back and let you know when it's complete. Let us begin. The blessing is now complete. So now go and take at least 7 minutes to rest your body and mind while the energy of the blessing is assimilated. May you and your loved ones be blessed this week. We'll see you next Sunday. Thank you.